Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a... Today will be Thursday? Thursday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service men and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, you're not in Tupelo, no problem. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that he's not here today. A little travel issues today for Carlo, but he'll be back with us tomorrow, which means we'll start our Sunday school, whatever we're calling it, summer school. I would still call it summer school, but Bud Elliott might come after me. But we'll start that tomorrow. But we want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill, be it burgers or steaks, something easy and quick, or you want to go big with a brisket or a tri-tip or a picanha, whatever you're cooking. When beef's the star of the show, everybody is a winner. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white, right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Father's Day is coming up. Don't forget about Dad. Head over to College Corner right now to get him the Father's Day gift he really wants. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. A banker that's going to treat you with respect, a banker that you're only going to find at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Like I said, Carlo will be back with us tomorrow. I think we'll have Brooks on tomorrow as well. We'll figure all that out, though, as we go. So just me today. Hope you guys can deal with that. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to start with Jacob Parker coming back to Mississippi State. I know I saw like a few, you know, message board posts. I try not to delve too deep into the mindset of the message board troll. But you had some people saying, oh, he's going, blah, blah, blah. And I never a doubt in my mind that Jacob Parker was going to be a Mississippi State Bulldog next season. Aside from the fact that he's too valuable to let go, this is a guy who just wants to be at Mississippi State. And I've had this same kind of argument with Hubbard in the past where people were like, oh, he's going to go. And I was like, he's not. He's very happy here at Mississippi State. He wants to be at Mississippi State, so on and so forth. So for me, Parker coming back was never a problem. I have heard, you know, through a couple of sources that it's not even an NIL thing. Like, that deal hasn't even been completely hammered out yet. He's just letting everybody know, I'm not going anywhere. So that's great news for Mississippi State. That is the biggest building block for Mississippi State in this upcoming, you know, you're looking ahead to 2027. I've said it a few times now. That is the one name that can be written in ink in the Mississippi State's starting lineup all season long. As long as Jacob Parker is healthy, Jacob Parker will start for Mississippi State in every game next season. There won't be a situation like this. I think back to this year, and you know, he's talked about it. He talked about it at the end of the at the press conference at the end of the season, where he said, you know, when I arrived at Mississippi State, I was playing poorly. I'll be nicer than the way that he put it. But, you know, he ends up hitting 339, 18 home runs, 62 RBI. I can't help but wonder, had he gotten the chance to play the whole if he had just been a day one starter for Mississippi State, you know, definitely would have a couple more home runs. He would have been around, he would have been there with Ace in the 20 home run club, more RBI, slugged 732. On the season, OBP, OPS of what? Do the math, Brian. 1.172. If I did the math right on that, pretty good for a true freshman. And as I've said the past couple of days, this is a guy that obviously is on a career trajectory to be one of the greatest players in Mississippi State baseball history. And if he builds upon these next this past year, if his next 2 years take the trajectory and take the road that they should, this is a guy who there will be a legitimate argument for him. And you know, look, kind of what we talked about with Hunter Hines the other day. Like, there's got to be an Omaha trip in there, but I think that's going to happen. But this is a guy who's going on a path to put his name right there with Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro and Jake Mangum, and could be the one that stands above them even as the greatest Mississippi State baseball player of all time. That is a really, really bold statement. You think about all the great players that have worn the maroon and white. And I just listed the guy. Let's look at him, right? Will Clark, Golden Spikes, number two overall pick in the draft. Rafael Palmeiro, unanimous All-American, SEC Triple Crown winner. Brent Rooker, we'll put him in there. SEC Triple Crown winner, first-round draft choice. Jake Mangum, the all-time leading hitter in SEC history, two College World Series appearances. That's a incredibly elite company. And I'm going to tell you that right now, Parker is going to end up there if he just improves a little bit each year. I mean, right now, if I tell you that next year he's hitting 360, 25 home runs, 75 RBI, and then as a senior he's 365, 28 home runs, 80 RBI. Is that unrealistic? Am I putting too much on him? Am I saying that that's not, he's not capable of doing that? I don't think so. I think he's very capable of doing that. So I'm excited for the future with Jacob Parker. You know, when you think about what State's going to bring back this upcoming season, and look, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away. We saw today, you know, Peter Mershon is the guy who I think I don't know if I was counting on him or anything like that, but I thought he'd be in the mix for a starting job next year, but he's decided to enter the portal. So be it. You know, getting back Parker, Maluski is a huge piece. Woodson is a big piece. Those two guys, if you get those three guys, that could be the heart of your lineup next year. You know, you'd like to see Woodson take another step forward, but he was definitely hitting the ball better at the end of the season, as was Maluski. I think Maluski is another guy that, you know, he got hurt that first weekend. I think if he plays that first weekend and maybe works out some of the kinks, that some of the hitting we saw from Kevin Maluski towards the end of the season, we could have seen maybe in the middle. But if I can get a catcher to give me hit between 245 and 270 and give me, you know, 16 to 20 home runs, buddy, sign me up for that. And, you know, average to above average defensively, I'm in 100%. Maluski would be just fine there. So you have him. I think Ryder Woodson comes back, probably stays at shortstop unless they can find a big bat to go. If they find a big bat to go at third, he'll play third. But Woodson could end up being at third. You know, I thought that defensively he got a little better towards the end of the season, but there were obviously some issues there. That said, it was his first year playing full-time as a starter, so maybe he just worked some of those kinks out naturally. But he's a guy who I would like to see next year hitting between, you know, hitting 280, between 280 and 300 and double-digit home runs. I think all the tools are there. He's just got to get a little bit more disciplined at the plate. That's the offseason for Ryder Woodson, is to spend his time learning how to read pitches a little bit better. Because I think all of the tools are there. He just has to get that recognition. So you got those two guys. And then, you know, we'll talk about the transfer portal in just a moment. But it's very obvious from where State is, from the three guys they brought in, that it's going to be another year of top guys coming in from the transfer portal. We'll talk about them in just a minute. Other guys who could be back next year, I think Aiden Teal is certainly one of them. Yeah, when you look at when you just look at it from a statistical standpoint, Till hit 294. He had five home runs and 22 RBI in a year where he suffered through some injuries. He suffered through some illness. I think if you can get a full healthy year of Aiden Teal, this was a guy who was highly sought after coming out of the portal. You know, other teams made a push to try to get him away from Mississippi State when he was coming from Virginia. Can he be a guy who's, you know, a 300-plus hitter, close to double-digit home runs? And I do think defensively, yes, he had an awful game against Texas A&M. That was a really, really bad one. No question. There's no getting around that fact. But prior to that, had he had a whole lot of issues defensively? Not that I recall. From a fielding standpoint, I don't think that he was bad last year. I got the stats pulled up here. Teal on the season fielded at a 975 clip. How many errors? Just the one, right? Where'd you go, Chief? Yeah, he had two errors in 79 chances. He had a really, and I know that one play didn't count as an error against Texas A&M, but I'm not going to let that poison my whole outlook on Aiden Teal. I think he can certainly be a contributor. Now, and I'm going to say the same thing about Woodson, and I'll say the same thing about the next player I'm going to talk about. There's no reason not to try and out and recruit over those guys. If you can go out and get an outfielder you think is a better center fielder than Aiden Teal, do it. Do it and let them fight against each other and have that competition. Whoever wins, wins, and whoever doesn't, hey, Blake Beavis didn't get to play a whole lot, but when he played, he made a difference. Vitas Valencias didn't play really much until the end of the season, but when he did, he got his chance. He made a difference. That's what elite teams do. They put guys who – elite teams have guys on their bench that would start other places. And I don't have a problem with that being the case for Mississippi State. They need to have guys like that. They need to have situations like that. So, Teal potentially out in center field. And then the other one I want to mention is Sean James, who I think, is not a catcher. Let's just be honest. He was put into that role because State needed him there when Maluski was hurt. He had some good moments. He had the big hit against Ole Miss. I think he's a good enough hitter. I think if you give him at-bats every day, he'll be fine. So he's probably going to get a chance to compete for the second base job. But the same thing applies here. If there's a second baseman out there that's a proven commodity, that's a 300-plus hitter, that can basically give you at the plate what Garrick Fry gave you this year and give you, won the field. Garrick Fry was a good fielder. He hit, what was it, 980 was his fielding percentage, something like that? I still got it pulled up here. Fry. Fry filled at 981. He had three errors and 156 chances. I'll take that right now. If I can get that recreated, if I can have that same guy, those same numbers, I'll take that 100% from my second baseman. So, I don't know if Sean James can be that guy or not. I'm willing to give him that opportunity, but I definitely am going to go out and try to get more players. One thing that Mississippi State fans, and really this is something that all fans have to do, is that this is not 2006 anymore. This is 2026. You can't just say, these guys, another year in the program, they're going to get better and we'll be fine. That may be the case. You could look up next year and Sean James is your starting second baseman and he's hitting 340 and he's got six or seven home runs and he's having a great season. But it's also possible that he's not. And you just can't – you don't have to take those chances. You don't have to be stuck saying, this is our second baseman next year. You can go out in the portal and find guys and have competition. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Would I like to see Sean James be a starter? I think he's earned that opportunity, but he hasn't earned the job. He's earned the opportunity to compete for the job is how you have to look at things. So I expect State to recruit a second baseman, to recruit a third and a first baseman, to recruit a couple more outfielders, to maybe recruit somebody. They got to find a DH as well, somebody who can come in and do that. And so, there's five or six, seven spots on the in the lineup, and then there's going to be six or seven or eight guys in the bullpen that you've got to replace. And that's just the nature of the beast right now. You've got to be able to replace those guys. So from a transfer portal perspective, I think State's off to a really nice start. When you look at the first three guys that they have brought in, I really like the Cressman kid from Georgia Southern. This is a guy who's the Sun Belt freshman of the year for Georgia Southern. A big bat, a guy with a lot of power. That's how you have to think about things right now, is you've got to get guys in this lineup to protect Jacob Parker. They have to be able to find somebody that so that they're just not pitching around Jacob Parker at all times. So bringing in a guy like Cressman he has the opportunity to do that. He should be a guy who, especially at Duty Noble Field, which is kind of morphed into a hitter's park, he's got to be a guy that can come in and give you 15 to 20 home runs next year. And so if you've got Parker in the lineup and him in the lineup, well, we should be sitting around 45 to 50 home runs between those two guys. That's a great place to be if you're Mississippi State. Then you bring in Jenk Souders from Samford. I saw somebody in the mentions of Robbie Falk's Twitter. Robbie, of course, no longer with us, saying, you know, oh, this guy was at the SoCon, and now you're going to bring him to Mississippi State? That's not going to work. You know who else played in the SoCon? Well, a guy by the name of Daniel Jackson, you know, the SEC Player of the Year, the likely Golden Spikes winner, the guy who hit 30 home runs this year. He started his college career at Wofford. So, you know, let's think a little longer before we talk sometimes. But this is a guy that, you know, when you look at his statistics, he looks like a guy who can take a step forward and be a great player for Mississippi State. Think about some of the luck, not luck is not the right word, but some of the players State has had who've come over from the SoCon. That's where R.J. Yeager came from when he was at Mercer. That's where Colton Ledbetter came from when he was at Samford. And these guys were big-time hitters for Mississippi State. Souders last year, .356 batting average, 13 doubles, 11 home runs. He also stole 17 bases. And that's something State kind of needs, is somebody who can be a little bit more of a threat on the base pads. They didn't really have that this year. Bryce Chance was their best base stealer. But this is a guy, you know, he looks like a good athlete. State needs a little bit more athleticism in the lineup, would be a way to put that. So I think they've already attracted two big-time bats to come to Mississippi State. You like to see that. Then from a pitching perspective, they announced yesterday that Zach Russell coming in from South Carolina. 2.53 ERA in the SEC. Sold. You've sold me on it. A ground ball pitcher. Sold. That was one of the State's biggest problems this year, I thought, was that they would get guys on, but the problem was they relied so much on the strikeout. Somebody who can just coax a ground ball and get a double play. State was lacking that this year. So this is a guy 93 to 96. Throws that ball, that sinker. The stat is 40 ground outs in 32 innings. That works. SEC experience, going back to what we said the other day, 93 to 96 is good. It's not the 98, 99 stuff, but it's somebody you know can get outs in this conference. That's a great start to portal season for Mississippi State. I have enjoyed watching the people, you know, before Russell committed. Like, well, that's great, but who's going to pitch? Like, if I may quote Moneyball here, guys, right now, if somebody hits a ball to first, there's nobody there to field it. You got to replace the lineup, too. I understand pitching was an issue, but you got to replace some guys in this lineup, too. I think State's off to a really good start. I expect that to continue. You know that Mississippi State is going to have the resources available to basically, you know, pick and choose their way through the transfer portal. I think they're going to be just fine there. And going forward, in the next week or so, I expect to see six or seven or eight or nine more additions, both in the bullpen and in the lineup, that you walk away from saying, okay, this team is reloading and they're ready to make another run to the College World Series. I definitely think that's going to be the case for them when it's all said and done. So for me, for Mississippi State, off to a really good start in the portal season. And obviously the big news there is the return of Jacob Parker, who, I mean, without knowing, you know, obviously we don't know hardly anybody's roster at this point. There's still a lot of flux, a lot of spaces to fill, but Jacob Parker is going to be your preseason SEC Player of the Year. I'll make that prediction now. From D1, from Perfect Game, from Baseball America, they will all have Jacob Parker right there at the top, right to the very top of what is going to be the SEC Player of the Year predictions for next season. No question about it. And honestly, your State may get a sweep there because Tomas Valinkas is back. He'll probably be preseason Pitcher of the Year. So it's very possible. You know, if you look ahead, if State does and I know we're looking way ahead and there's a long way to go and a lot of stuff has to happen, but if State gets the kind of transfer portal class you expect them to bring in, to go with the pieces they're bringing back in the lineup with Parker, with Woodson, with Maluski, to go with the pitching staff they're bringing back with Valinkas and McPherson and Stone and Bauer and Maddox Miller, I think, is going to play a big role. I think Jack Gleason has a big role to play. This should be, a preseason top five team, and you could probably make a pretty strong case that they could be preseason number one. It just depends on, you know, because Georgia's going to lose a lot. Texas is losing quite a bit, although they bring back some good pieces. Should be, you know, another season of high expectations. And look, I don't want anybody out there to apologize for high expectations. I'm certainly not going to. My prediction this year was to win the national title. They didn't quite get there. My prediction next year, I got to see how it all pans out, but I'm certainly going to say that they need to be in Omaha in year two. All right, with the amount of commitment being put into this program, you cannot be afraid as a fan to say the commitment is there. We have done our part as fans. The money has been given to you. Do your job. Get this team to Omaha. That's a fair expectation for you as a Mississippi State baseball fan. Anybody who tells you different is wrong. They're flat out wrong. Don't let anybody tell you, well, it may take some time. It does not. It does not. This team was good enough to play in Omaha this year. They made a couple of mistakes along the way, and it cost them. But they were certain. Don't tell that this team was certainly a College World Series capable team. Next year will be as well. So don't be one of those people who don't crap on expectations. Have expectations. Believe in your team because they can. This program is good enough to get you there. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at, excuse me, Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. I had lunch at Two Brothers just yesterday, and guess what? It was fantastic. I took advantage of Taco Tuesday and got a couple of chicken Chipotle tacos. And I'm going to give you a little side note here. Speaking of sides, their mac and cheese side is really good. It's got the pork belly, little tiny pieces of pork belly in there, and it's just really good. It's one of the best mac and cheeses in town. So if you're looking for a side, Robbie always goes pork rinds. And look, I love their pork rinds. They're really good. But their mac and cheese is something to talk about. I don't know if enough people are bringing that up. I think they need to do a mac and cheese. So Barton and Terry, if you're listening, you got a great mac and cheese right now. I need to make an entree size. Put some pork belly, big chunks of pork belly on top of that. Maybe I can get some pulled pork. They already do the build your own basket with fries and pork rinds. What about a mac and cheese build your own? Huh? That's free money. I just print it for you. Just take advantage of that. If you want to enjoy great food today, head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. You need service. Guess what? Same people, same number. You know them. They know you. They'll take care of you. They're in Mississippi. You're in Mississippi. They can probably solve your problem the same day. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., that's the place to go for the great Mississippi State gear that you're looking for. Again, Father's Day just now around the corner. If you haven't shopped for Dad yet, do it at Maroon & Co. If Dad's a Bulldog, you're going to find a shirt, a pullover, a hat, something for him. If Dad is like me and likes to wear Adidas tennis shoes, which I do, I am a three-stripe life kind of guy. They got a great selection of those at Maroon & Co. They've got, if Dad's, needs a new cooler, the Yeti coolers, the best in the business. They're right there at Maroon & Co. They've got it all. Use the promo code THUNDER15. They'll take 15% off the regular price. Dad loves saving money, so use that one as well. If you're going to be in Starkville, or if you're not, you can shop on maroonandco.com. Use the promo code there as well. Shop for Dad at Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Guys, speaking of Dad, I don't care what your dad likes to do. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a gift for him, all right? If Dad's a yardsman, he wants to keep that yard looking tip-top. He makes it looks like the 18th green at Augusta out there. A John Deere mower from Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden might be the gift to go to. If Dad's a home repairman, he likes to keep things working inside the house. They got an incredible selection of power tools. If Dad's an outdoorsman, he's a hunter or a fisher. They've got rifles, shotguns, bows, fishing poles, everything a man needs to enjoy some time in the woods or on the lake. Dad's a grillsman. They got a great selection of grills at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Dads love Scruggs. Your dad will too. Go buy his father's gift, go buy his Father's Day gift at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, I'm not going to encourage you to buy Dad land. Let Dad handle the land purchases. All right. You don't have to go buy Dad land. But if you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber would love to speak with you about managing your land, making sure you're doing things sustainably, making sure you're doing things profitably, but more importantly, taking care of your land for the long, long term. And if you are looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that for a couple hundred to a couple thousand acres. Whatever you want to do, Good Hope Land and Timber has the expertise and the people to make it happen. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a simple phone call. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. So I think that the summer school idea is going to take up most of tomorrow's show. So let's just do an SEC preview here and get it out of the way. We're going to talk about the Florida Gators today. We'll get Carlos' thoughts another time. I think this is going to be the most improved team in the SEC this year. I've bought into John Sumrall. I think he's a winner. Some coaches went from Troy to their next stop, and Neil Brown would be the easiest example, and it just didn't really seem to work out for him there. Whereas he went to Tulane, made them a consistent winner, gets them into the college football playoff. Now he takes the Florida job. Brings in the Buster Faulkner from Georgia Tech, who goes and gets Aaron Filo, who's going to be the quarterback, and it just feels like they've got some good pieces at Florida. Napier, for all his faults, he recruited pretty well. So I think they've got some good pieces in place there. And you bring it – I think he has kind of the same impact that Kiffin had at Ole Miss in year one. Year one of Ole Miss was the COVID year. Had Kiffin been playing a regular schedule, he probably wins like 8 games coming off of a 4-win season the year before. Kind of what, Mullen, not the same in terms of wins and losses, but just in terms of you felt immediately you were in good hands. You knew you had the right guy. I think Sumrall gives Florida that. I think they'll be back in the playoff chase sooner rather than later. Not this year, but they'll make life interesting for some teams. So let's just going to go through it. As you can imagine, their first couple weeks are super easy. Florida Atlantic and Campbell, those will be 2 wins. Then their first real test is at Auburn. And if you listen to last week, you know how I predicted this game, but I just think that Florida's better than Auburn, and I think Sumrall's a better coach. And so, it's at Auburn, but I feel like Florida's got 2 of the other 3 things working for them. So I'm going to take the Gators. I'll take them again to beat Ole Miss. When we get to Ole Miss, I just feel like they're going to lose to LSU. I'll just go ahead and spoil that prediction. And I think that the emotion of that loss is going to carry into the next week. So I'm going to have Florida. Look at this. I got Florida 4-0 at Missouri. I'll say 5-0 home to South Carolina. I'll say 6-0 Florida off to a 6-0 start. Their fans are going to be going crazy. They're going to come back down to earth a little bit here. They're going to go through a little stretch here. I have them losing at Texas. Then the off week, then it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party with Georgia. I think that's a loss. And then I just didn't feel comfortable putting them 10-2. So I had them lose to Oklahoma at home. Oklahoma is a team I'm kind of up and down on. Some days I feel like they could be really good. It's all going to depend on John Mateer for the Sooners. But so they go from 6-0 to 6-3. That's a little bit of a tough stretch, but I think they finished strong. They finished with wins at Kentucky, Vandy at home, and then at Florida State. That's probably, if he's not already fired, that's probably Mike Norvell's last game as the head coach of the Seminoles right there. So a 9-3 season for the Gators would be really, really a great step forward. And of course, not that I want to harp on things or anything like that, but makes you wonder why other coaches in year 3 can't be talking about things like this. But that's not an easy schedule. You got Ole Miss and Texas and Georgia and Oklahoma and South Carolina and Missouri. I'm saying this guy's going to win 9. What's going on there? I was talking to somebody earlier today about this, and we'll kind of devolve into a little bit here, but just kind of start getting ready for the offseason here and the start of football, which is, a couple months away. And, this is a weekend for Mississippi State where they've got camps and official visits going on, but for the second year in a row, Mississippi State's recruiting is really off to a – they're off to a little bit better start than they were a year ago. I will give them credit for that. But it's still not where you want it to be. And you're in year 3, and you haven't shown anything yet. And I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to apologize for it one time. And it goes back to what I was talking about with baseball, is it's okay to have expectations. And we live in a world where a coach arrived at Indiana – and within 2 years, had them winning the national title. So it's completely fair. It is not asking that much of Jeff Lebby to say in year 3, win 8 games. Not a national title, not be in the playoff, not be in the playoff discussion, not be in the periphery of any of that, win eight games and be a top 25 team. Is that an unfair expectation? If you think that it is, then we're not watching the same sports. We don't have the same value systems about things. I believe that that's a very fair expectation. Do I think Mississippi State will get there? No. No, I don't. And that's the problem. With Lebby, I just don't see him doing the things that a coach in his position needs to be doing when you're in this situation. He's almost a recluse. Like, he should be out and about, man. He should be trying to drum up as much support as he can get. Like, how are we selling tickets? He should be playing a much bigger role in that. But, I mean, when's the last time anybody spoke with him? I know he did something with Robbie, kind of like as a kickoff to State 1878, but, you know, where is the guy? I would like to see more of him. I know that. I just feel like that would be best for Mississippi State. And then from a recruiting perspective, I mean, it's not – State has lost its way in recruiting. This used to be a university that made a point of, we are going to build through Mississippi and we're going to find those underrated guys. And if there is a four-star guy out there, we're going to recruit them and we're going to get them. And, you know, if we lose to them, it's because Ole Miss was doing something under the table. And that pretty much was always the case. And now you just see Mississippi guys just not even really considering Mississippi State, not visiting Mississippi State. That seems unfathomable. So they've got to find a way to get some positive momentum. And I know part of that is they need to start winning some football games. Well, that's great. But I don't think that if we look up in the first week of October and State has somehow become 4-0, that all of a sudden you're going to see a bunch of recruits flipping to Mississippi State. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe this staff does a good enough job in the recruiting process. Now, some of that might be NIL, and that's not to say that State doesn't have the resources. I think I'm saying that State prefers to put its resources into the transfer portal versus high school kids. And, you know, unless you've got an elite kid, I get that. I understand that thought process. But at the same time, you got to have some wins for your fan base, especially when you're talking about local kids. You got a kid committed. You've lost two kids from Choctaw Central and from Ackerman to Ole Miss. Caleb Cunningham's up there, and then they've got the kid who's committed right now. You got a kid at Louisville right now. You're losing kids from Tupelo. These are places you've always done well recruiting-wise. You got to be able to win those battles. We got a long way to go before the start of football season, obviously. And I do think that I've said many times, I think that if things go right for Mississippi State, if they make the right decisions, if the right things happen, this can be a team that has a higher ceiling than everybody in the country would think they do. If Kamario Taylor can show that he's not only good but great, if Zach Arnett takes that defense forward a big step, there's potential for a huge improvement, the same way I'm saying with Florida. But I doubt it. That's where I stand right now. I'm a doubter. And I'm all the way in prove-it-to-me mode for Mississippi State football. I got to see wins. You know, and honestly, that first game, it's going to tell us quite a bit. I think it kind of did last year. I think when you watched the Southern Mississippi game last year, you saw that team was better, but it was still flawed. You know, Southern Mississippi had some success offensively that a good defense should not have allowed. But offensively, you knew that team was going to be a little bit better, and you saw some of the things that Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans were going to be able to do. This year against ULM, if this team doesn't completely dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I'm going to know right then and there they're in trouble. They don't rush for 250-plus yards, and if they allow more than two or three sacks, why would I buy? I'm not going to buy into anything. They've got to show me on the line of scrimmage. They got to show me. Kind of an off way to go off the Florida SEC prediction, but I just felt like saying it. I felt like it needed to be said. We'll do Georgia next week. Spoiler, guess what? With Georgia, you can probably guess. We'll do that next week. All right, tomorrow, Carlo will be back, and we're going to start this summer school thing. We're going to talk about quarterbacks. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott, not only in terms of what he did statistically, not only in terms of games won, but in terms of why he is the most connected player to the Mississippi State fan base of any that ever played here. So we'll start with that in our history of Mississippi State football course what would they call it over at State? MSU 1103, something like that. That's what it would have been back in my day. I don't know what it is now. But we'll start that up tomorrow. Talk to you guys then. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.